Well, I know there are several of you here this morning that this will be your first testimony Sunday, so let me explain a little bit what this is all about. Every year, usually it's the last Sunday of the year, this year it's the first Sunday, at the change of the year, we stop as a church and we take stock of what God has been doing in our hearts and in our lives, and we tell stories about the faithfulness of God in good situations and in difficult situations, because it's very important for us as a community to hear somebody besides me speak. Some of you are like, yes, that's so important. It's important to hear what God is doing in other people's lives. It is so encouraging to hear that, and as a pastor, I get the privilege of kind of peeking in on your spiritual lives as you allow me, and I know how encouraged I am by that, but not everybody gets that privilege. And so this is an opportunity to talk about what God is doing in our hearts and in our lives. 2021 is over. What a year that was. It's the time of year where we stop and we think back sometimes about what the last year held, and mercy, what a year. It began with the end of a, you know, rather contentious political season, a contested election. We started off with wall-to-wall coverage of everything that happened on January 6th, and in spite of all that, it still felt, at least at the beginning of last year, that there was a bit of optimism, because we thought maybe with these new vaccines, this whole COVID thing will go away and we can go back to life as normal. Well, it kind of happened a little bit, didn't it? Until it didn't. And we're still in this place of limbo, and what a year. And then I stopped and thought about my own life as I was thinking about what I might share. And I realized just in my personal life, there have been a lot of very major life transitions for me. This summer, I ended my tenure as the District Board of Ministerial Development Chairman and all that went with that. And I think that was providential. That happened just in time for us to welcome our third son into our family. And I realized how blessed we were and how all of those circumstances worked out. If you've never had a child come ridiculously early, you may not understand how much of a blessing a full-term pregnancy is when everything just goes the way it's supposed to. Like that's a really, really big blessing, and it's not a guarantee, and we enjoyed that blessing with this child, full term, just the way it was supposed to be. And then you get home, and you wait for the hospital bills to come with no small amount of anxiety, and you get the bill and the insurance paperwork, and we were convinced there was a mistake. We're like, surely there's no way the insurance is actually covering that much. They never have before, but sure enough, they did, and we said, thank you, God, that's amazing, and God's been very faithful. I was thinking the other week, maybe a week or two ago, I don't know why, about many of the people I've known in my life. I've lived a lot of different places, and so I've known a lot of different people, and most of them, I don't keep up with them. Our lives just cross paths, you know, for a season. And I was thinking about that and these people, and one of them came to mind, and I felt that this is a story I should share. It's not something that happened in the last year of my life, but look, if the Bible can tell the story of the Exodus, as we saw in Isaiah, again and again and again, I think there are some stories about how God works in our life that are worth retelling. You've probably heard some of this story. It's a story about a pastor I had. He was my pastor for 2.5, probably not quite 3 years. And his name was Pastor Mike. He was the pastor that baptized me. And probably more than any other pastor I had, he had a very powerful impact on my life. He was my pastor when I was young, adolescent, obnoxious, know-it-all, talk too much, didn't know when to stop talking. Some of you are thinking, not much has changed. I understand. And he was this pastor of this old Baptist church. I mean, it was an old church. I think they claimed to be the second oldest church in the state of West Virginia. I mean, 1700s old. That was still in existence, like old church. And for reasons I don't know, Pastor Mike, he loved me. And he did this thing at the end of every service. He would get done preaching, and during the last song, he would go up the aisle to the back door, and that was the only way out. And so you could not leave the service without shaking Pastor Mike's hand and talking to him. And one Sunday, I was walking out with my parents, and he shook my hand, and I don't know why he did this. No idea what prompted this. And I, as far as I know, he didn't do this with anybody else. He pulled out a little cross out of his pocket. It was nothing fancy. It was a little metal cross about this big, probably stamped steel. There's no writing on it, no decoration. It's just a stamped piece of metal, little metal cross, and he handed it to me. He said, "I always have two of these in my pocket. I'm giving one of them to you. And when you come back next Sunday, we're going to trade crosses. I'll take the one in my pocket, give it to you. You'll take the one in yours, give it to me." And like that became our thing every Sunday. And I, as a young man, all young adolescent men are looking for like male approval. We all want to grow up and become men. And so anybody who's leading us towards that will latch onto him. And I really latched on to Pastor Mike. And I looked forward to shaking his hand and swapping crosses every Sunday morning. And you might ask, well, why in the world would that change your life? Because it doesn't sound like a very big thing. I mean, maybe it's a kind gesture, it's a little thing, whatever. But how would that change your life? Well, I grew up with people always whispering in my ear that I was going to be a pastor. My mother, my grandmother would always tell me, especially when I was being really mouthy, you know, and getting myself in trouble, as I frequently did in school, "One of these days, you're going to use your mouth for the Lord. You're going to be a preacher." I thought, I'll die first. Because my history with pastors, even at that young age, I had known multiple pastors that had very public, egregious moral failures. I did not have any good role models in my life for what it meant to be a pastor. I did not want to. This is not the job I was looking for, by the way. But there came a moment in my life as I knew I was called to ministry, and I was really wrestling this out with God, where I knew I had to make a decision. Like, I either had to tell God, the answer is no, and you need to figure this out, or I had to say yes, and I had to be all in. And when I got to that moment, I think one of the things that made it possible for me to say yes was looking back and remembering Pastor Mike. And I was able to come to this moment where I said, God, I will do this, but only if I can do it like him. And I thought, that's a timely story for the end of 2021 going into 2022, because I don't know about you, but it seems to me that like all the problems that I was thinking about last year, all the things that kept coming through in a news feed, it all seemed too big, didn't it? It just seemed like all of our problems lacked solutions. And when you don't know what the solution is, what do you do? And it's almost like you're paralyzed because you don't know how to move forward because you don't have any answers to the problems you're dealing with. So what do? Do the little things. When the world seems to be full of problems that you can't fix, don't worry about it. You're probably not the one to fix them. But what you can do, what every person in this room, what I can do, is commit to do the little things. Little acts with a lot of love. Because if I understand the kingdom of God, the way Jesus describes it, those are the things that move it forward. It's little things that you never would imagine would make a big impact. I don't even know if Pastor Mike remembers me. Maybe he does. I don't know. I haven't kept up with him. I guarantee he didn't imagine that giving a kid a little cross would change his life. But that's how the kingdom of God works, isn't it? Jesus says the kingdom of God is, it's like a mustard seed. It's so small and it seems so insignificant until it's finally planted and it takes root and then it grows to be one of the biggest plants in the garden and the birds build nests in it. And you don't got to have a lot of faith. You just need faith like a mustard seed. And if you've got that, you can say to the mountain, be cast into the sea, and it will be done. I don't know what 2022 holds. I don't. I don't know if things are going to get better or not. I don't know what the solution to our problems are, but I know that if every person in this room will commit, call it a New Year's resolution, to just consistently, day in and day out, do little acts of love. Little acts with a big love. I promise you will touch more lives than you will ever know. And someday, 20, 30 years from now, somebody will get up. You may not even remember who they are. And they'll say, this person made all the difference, whether you knew it or not. I know God is not just working in my life. A lot of the stories I wanted to tell this morning, well, they weren't my stories. They're your stories. There are things that I've been blessed to see in your hearts and your lives, but I can't tell them because they're not my stories. So I'm going to grab a microphone and we will walk it around as God leads you to share what he's been doing in your hearts and in your lives.
It's kind of funny that you were talking about how people have touched your lives, because I'm going to start clear back when I was a seventh grader I was starting youth group. It's been a day or so ago. I can remember being in absolute awe of one of the leaders who could find a story or verse with seemingly no effort. I was originally assigned to a different small group leader, but the leaders generously allowed me to go with a friend who had brought me. Looking back, I believe this was what God had originally planned. When I asked the leader how he was able to remember so much, he simply stated, through reading and studying. Now, I was a good student and an excellent test taker, but shortly after each test, I would forget what that chapter or topic was about. So I therefore came to the conclusion that 1, reading the whole Bible seemed a daunting task. 2, remembering what I read would be impossible for anything but a short while. And 3, the text itself was over my head and hard to comprehend. These thoughts have stuck with me as being an impossible task that I would never accomplish. A little over a year ago, when Scott had his four-wheeler accident, I was asked to fill in as the speaker at youth. Every week I had a plan on what I was going to talk about. It was Advent, so basically my topics were spelled out for me. I spent time reading passages, watching or listening to other people's interpretation on the subjects. Then I would write and rewrite what I was planning on saying to the kids about the subject. Never once did I speak on Advent or Christmas. You see, every Tuesday night, without fail, God would completely change what the topic was and how to present it. I would be awoken around midnight with a dream or an idea that I knew I wasn't to forget. I would fight waking up by trying to replay the idea in my head over and over, knowing I already had something else written out and planned. Usually around 2 a.m., I would give in to the Holy Spirit's nudges. I would get out of bed, go to my office, and write out what God had placed on my heart. Sometimes I think the discussion may have gone a bit long. But when I heard one of the kids quote part of what I had talked about nearly 8 months later, I realized maybe it hadn't fallen on deaf ears. God was working, not only on the kids, but on my heart as well. You may be wondering how I've gone from the youth group flunky to youth group speaker. Well, over the years, I've been in what I have heard it referred to as the dark side of the soul. I've not really been hearing from God and not really knowing what I should be doing with my life. Knowing how hard it is to keep going through these years, I can't imagine how alone Israel must have felt over the 200 years between the prophets and Jesus' coming. I've been encouraged by RJ and others to just keep praying, reading scripture, and seeking God, continuing on to the other side where it will be so much better. So as soon as they were announced, I joined a discipleship band. The girls and I have been meeting now for what I think we determined 6 years. Through this, I have learned to not only become more vulnerable to others, but to be more aware of the daily sins that I commit. Praying over each other and being together through the tears, laughter, and joys has brought me closer to them and to God. Prayer then seemed the next logical step in my walk. How better to seek God's face than to pray daily? The weekly prayer meetings here at church have not only taught me how to pray and listen more deeply, but it has given us a chance to teach our children that habit as they come with Tyler and I each Friday morning. This past summer, for about 7 months, I had to be a double manager. Not only was I managing the bank in Atkinson, but I was managing in O'Neill as well. And the stress about killed me, I think, but RJ probably got tired of me asking for other books to read, but I discovered Audible, and there's 21 miles in between here and O'Neill, and I read and listened to a lot of Christian-based books, and I feel like that was a blessing, even though it was a challenge for me personally. Logic then led me to sign up for Dave Smith's classes, as I thought, maybe I can't hear God because I can't understand him. As preparation for Dave's coming to teach, RJ had given us chapters to read and reread. At first I thought, why should I read it more than once? It's the same words, the same story. You see, I have never read any book more than once, not counting the kids' favorite storybooks. I've only read through the whole Bible once. I've read stories or verses more than once, but not in quick succession, so I decided to give it a try. The book was Daniel. I read it at least 3 times, then felt the yearning to write it out word for word. After writing it, I read it again and again. I made notations and looked up words and phrases and commentaries. In my second observation, I heard the voice of God telling me to go to Jeremiah to read more about it. That was before I had even looked anything up. In Jeremiah, I had a question pop into my mind, and I was able to remember that that character was talked about in Genesis. So I went there to get my answer. This makes me super happy and excited to know that I'm slowly getting to that point that youth leader talked about. My life has always been one where I need a lot of sleep. However, I feel convicted to spend more time in the Word. Did you know that Benedictine monks spend 6 hours in the Word each day? The only time I could think of that might work was to wake up an hour earlier each day. So now, my alarm goes off at 4:15 a.m., an hour before I have to get ready for my workout class. I actually normally wake up between 3:30 and 4 with the excitement of hearing God's word. More than once, I've skipped my workout class to continue reading or studying a thought. Tyler and RJ have had to remind me that I do still need to go to work as well. I begin each morning with a prayer asking for God's guidance and for my heart and ears to be opened. Then I read, write, and study. I have now written out the book of Daniel, the book of Amos, most of the book of Judges, and the book of Ephesians. I write them out by hand, double-spaced, so that I have room for notations. I don't want to put notations in my Bible, just because I don't want to predetermine what I'll hear the next time I read through that passage. In talking with Dave, he advised me that I would be attacked and go through times of doubt during my studies. I have seen myself get attacked and just felt my shoulders being heavy. RJ has the Digging Deeper group doing the whole book studies right now, and they've been proven to be very difficult for me to find the main point of the stories. I'm trying to remind myself that I just have to keep going and keep practicing. The trees may still block my view of the forest, but it will come. I have written to Dave and begun a letter of thanks to that youth group leader of long ago. As leaders, we rarely get to see or hear about how the seeds we plant grow. Some seeds, as the parable states, are trampled and birds eat them. Some fall on rock and wither, while others are choked by thorns. When we are truly blessed, the seeds fall into good soil. I'm not sure that I would be considered one fallen into good soil, as the growth in me has taken so long. Perhaps my growth is more akin to the seeds that were trampled and eaten by birds. Life happened after youth group, and I unfortunately got trampled and eaten up in the world. However, did you know some seeds actually require going through the bird's digestive system in order to germinate? Maybe that's where I've been these last 26 years, passing through the yucky stuff and being prepared to grow. I tell you all this story, not to brag or get attention, but to encourage you. Some of you may find yourself unable to hear God speaking or unable to stick with one of the disciplines. Don't be discouraged. Continue to seek his face. God is still working in the background, even when we can't see him. And yes, I wrote this early this morning.
I'd like to say what a blessing it is to have children in our church and an active Wednesday night program. Helping with Clubhouse on Wednesday nights has been a positive experience for me as I lead the prayer station. Each week, we have a specific prayer focus as well as prayer requests from the kids. One week, we were praying for our pastor. It happened to be during Pastor Appreciation Week. This is when the kids all signed cards for Pastor RJ. Anyway, there was a child that asked, "What is a pastor? I don't know what that is." And then the same types of comments were made when we were praying for missionaries. And it's easy to take some of these things for granted and assume kids know. But there are kids that don't know how to pray. They don't know what a pastor is. They don't know what a missionary is, and so on. Some of the prayer groups have gone from no one wanting to pray to several in a little group wanting to pray. I just want you to know it's a pleasure to get to know the children and the ones from our church, the ones from the community, and it's just a blessing.
This is all going to end up being talking about an answer to prayer. But it goes back a number of years ago. I had a brother that spent 16 years in Mali as a missionary. He knew what he was. When he came back to the States, they didn't have a lot of money. So we as a family decided that we were going to raise funds and we were going to build him a garage. And so for Christmas we gave him a garage, and along with the note it says some assembly required. So some of us got together and we helped build that garage. And my dad was in his upper 80s and he came. And I remember as a kid when he built a barn when I was young, first of all we used lumber, and so I had the job of having to pull the nails and straighten nails and get ready. And so when Dad came, I was wishing I had a bucket of rusty nails that I could have him straighten instead of getting up on scaffolds and ladders. But he kept thinking this is what he was going to do. He was going to get up and help. And I kept thinking, "Dad, you're too old. You know, you can't do this, you know." And I admired my dad for all he did. And as I was going through life, I kept thinking, you know, when I retire, I want to do all these things that Dad did, you know. And I've always enjoyed doing things, construction work and things like that. And that's what I wanted to do when I retired. And then retirement comes. And along with retirement comes some other things. You know, there's some aches and there's some pains and there's some other things that we all have to live with. So I have these aches and pains, and all of a sudden I keep thinking, well, man, I'd sure like to do this. And I was going through some real disappointment over this. And RJ came over to our place when we had a meeting. He came and visited us at our house. And we visited for a time, and then he asked, he says, so what can I pray for you about? And I told him, I says, you know, really, to be honest, the thing that I was going through was the disappointment of not being able to do what I had, my expectations had been for retirement. I wanted to be able to do the same things that I did 20 and 30 years ago. And so RJ prayed for us, and he prayed for me, and you know, that God would give me strength. And it wasn't shortly after that in my devotion, I came across a verse, 1 Peter 4:11, that says, if you serve, serve with the strength that God gives you. And I have to look back and say, hey, God didn't give me the same strength now that I had 20, 30 years ago. But I still have strength. I'm standing here. So I do have strength. I have to look at, I have a whole lot more than a lot of other people. There are people that are really hurting. And I guess I'm just glad that I do have the strength that I have. And I think I've come to peace that, hey, I can still serve with what God gives me. So I have to say thank you to RJ. I would say that prayer was answered. Thank you.
I've been telling RJ for probably a year that I had something I want to share that God's been doing in my life, and it's taken me a while. People was the problem in my life. Nobody in this room. just for a year, it just seemed like God... not God, that I was letting things that people did really affect me, and I was getting frustrated, and I was trying to do my job, and they didn't understand my job, and I was just getting irritable, and I don't know, it just seems like it was weighing down on me, and even it was bothering me throughout the summer, and I was just unhappy, and I had shared a little bit with my discipleship group, and it seemed like after I shared that, God started pointing out some things. And yes, this is a thick notebook, but that's how I write down things that God is doing in my life. And one of the times that he started pointing out things in my life that I needed to let go was love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And I just started thinking about that. Yeah, I am. I'm letting the things that I can't control to overtake my life, and I'm taking my eyes off of God. So then I started digging deeper, and in this devotion it said, a defining commandment of Jesus, Christianity is a dynamic relationship with Jesus in which we are transformed, rescued, and reconciled by his holy love. And you know, when I started taking my eyes off and my expectations of people and looking at how God looked at them, it is an amazing transformation. And I can't even hardly put it into words, but just the other day I was thinking, Lord, thank you. Thank you for taking that away from me. And here's some of the things how to do that. When you focus on his love for us, and then our love for him, and that turns into devoted love for neighbors, coworkers, and yes, even family and enemies. Not that they're necessarily your enemies, but sometimes it feels like that, right? So one of the things that I've really been focusing on, and I'd heard this a long time ago when I was a little girl, but pray for them, listen, and then listen. How does Jesus see them? And when we give our burdens to him and we listen, he starts to give us his burdens for his people. That's what his ministry is. So just remember that prayer and that love. And one day it all accumulated. I was walking down the halls at school, and in two different places there was a sign that said, "Be the reason somebody smiles today." And this little whisper said, "Be the reason somebody knows Jesus better today." And that started just, I can't put it into words. It's been an amazing experience. And no, am I always perfect in that? No. But you know what? There's a little song that I remember, and I'm not going to try to sing it because I'll probably mess it all up, but he's still working on me to make me what he wants me to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me.
Got one more.
I need to get up and give my testimony. I've told the kids for years that I do not know where God is taking me, but I can look back and I can see where he has taken me. And in 81, Nan and I got married. That was 40 years ago this year. He's taken us a lot of places, and yet we've never really ever left here. Wouldn't have known that when we got married. And KGRD this last month has been giving away one-year Bibles, and what they asked for was that you would say what promise from the Bible that God has given you. And I didn't call in or anything, but immediately I've been driving back and forth to Lake Andes every day, or a lot of days. So that's 2 hours on the road each way, a little over an hour each way. And so I've been listening to different ones that have come up. And immediately when I heard that the first time, the scripture that says, "I will never leave you or forsake you," came into my mind. That was the very first thing. Well, that's not really a promise. Yes, that is very much a promise. And then the thought of what I've told the kids all along. I don't know where God is taking me, but I know where he has taken me. And I can look back through my life and I can see that I was kind of reluctant to get married. Best thing I ever did. All the things, just each day just did the next step throughout my life. Looking back, I can see God's allowed me to. I feel like I'm extremely blessed. I've been able to do really everything I ever wanted to do. From work with my dad until the day he died to grow up at my grandfather's heels. He was my hero. Got to follow in his footsteps, raised cattle, successful. Did that, moved on. God's just allowed me to be in his, to claim that promise, "I will never leave you or forsake you." There's been some really dark days. Won't go into them. Don't need to. I just know God was there. You just have to cling to promises, and that's one that just came to me immediately. And I know there's more ahead for whatever days there are, but we can just hang on to his promises. One I will share that was started long before we were married. A very, very good friend of mine. Spent a lot of time with him when we were in high school. We were fishing, and for some reason, I just felt like God said, you need to share the plan of salvation with him. And I did. And he just said, okay. We never talked of it again. About a year ago, we were sitting in the driveway. I'm still very good friends with this guy. And with tears running down his face, he looked at me and he said, do you remember that day? And I said, yes, I do. Very much. I remember that day. And he said, you know, I accepted Jesus as my Savior just a few years ago. But he said, I remember that day. From that day, that those words never left me. And they've been in my heart all this time. And I finally gave in to them. And it's one of those places where I didn't know where God was taking me. But looking back, I'm sure glad I was willing to say what was needed to be said. So looking forward to many more adventures, and we'll see what happens.